I already forgot you were calling.
Short attention span.
No, yes. Been busy, that's all.
I understand. You just don't find me memorable.
That too.
Well, welcome to week 834 of the Crankcast.
Yay.
That's Mike. I'm Crank.
Yay.
I believe Mike's at home this week.
I'm at home because I was just in Palm Springs and I was on an airplane and I want to make sure that I'm okay before I go to the studio and infect people.
Oh, self-quarantining.
For a little bit. Julie has rapid tests, so we're going to take those tomorrow.
Okay.
And give myself a little time to get sick if I am.
Makes sense.
And then we're out of our air conditioner doesn't work.
Oh, that's a bummer. Well, at least it's, going in the fall.
Yeah, I know, right? So
gives you a good few months to get it taken care of.
Well, I have very little,
patience?
We know that. I don't have much tolerance for heat in general, so.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I'd much rather be cold, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like being cold, but at least I can put more clothes on. You can only take so many clothes off if you're hot. Before it starts getting into indecent territory.
You're indecent.
Well, maybe.
How you doing?
Doing all right. How was Hank the Younger's wedding?
It was fine. It was nice. It's a little bit, I thought I was going to be like, I thought I might cry, but I did not.
Oh, I generally cry at weddings.
Yeah. I was very happy for him and his lovely wife, Laura, and they brought their dog, so I got to hang out with little French Bulldog, Ozzy.
Cool.
And, it was a nice trip. We walked around a lot. We went to Palm Springs.
And the wedding you said was in Joshua Tree?
Yeah.
That's fancy.
In the desert, I saw my first tarantula.
Did you run in fear? I'm not really afraid of tarantulas myself.
Well, I was in a car.
Oh.
We were actually leaving. I was terrified all week because the Airbnb I was at had a thing in the little, there's a little binder of stuff, and it said, October is tarantula season. And I'm like, what? That's a thing?
It's like Shark Week.
So I was always looking for them. But it wasn't until after the wedding when we were leaving, and it was at night, and the headlights, you could clearly see this thing crawling across the dirt as we were pulling out, and we're like, oh my god, I've never seen that before. We were giving a ride home to some people and they were like, get it. I don't think we did. I don't think we ran over it. But
were you having flashbacks to William Shatner and Kingdom of the Spiders?
It was just weird. It's not something I ever expected to see,
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen a tarantula in the wild. I know people that have them. I've seen them. I mean, I've seen them out of cages, too, because, they can be handled and stuff.
And well, I know that. I mean, I've seen some.
Yeah, but I'm saying I've seen that in person. But I've never, just seen one running across the ground for no good reason. I talk about nature as having no good reason. That's funny. In fact, I just read the other day, because I was reading something up on spiders. This was actually a week or two ago, because I thought I was getting bit by spiders at night.
But, I am bit up all over, and we were afraid that it was bed bugs or something.
Ooh, yeah, that's scarier than spiders.
I am bit up all over my feet, and I think that it's the last day we stayed out by the pool all day. That was really cool. I did that on our honeymoon, but we did that, and it was very nice. But I think maybe there were bugs or something on the little layout recliner thing. At least I'm hoping it was that and not bed bug.
Probably like, you know, whatever they call those little gnats or biting flies or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so when I was reading about spiders, I read a, what do you call a spider specialist?
Arachno something.
Probably, yeah. But anyway, they were interviewing them because they were talking about different kinds of spiders and what it took for them to actually bite you. And,
yeah.
This guy was saying that essentially, like, if you get bit by a tarantula, you deserve it. Because they don't want to bite you, you know.
Right.
And they're super delicate, too. They've got, like, you know, they've got your deer-like ankles, but all over their body.
Deer-like ankles.
In fact, yeah, and I found out that, at least around here anyway, I mean, the things we have to worry about in southern Ohio are brown recluse and black widow. Those are, like, the most dangerous. But even those don't really want to bite you, if they can help it.
I don't want to bite you. But I will after.
Okay. Anyway. I don't know if you've seen this movie. I was just watching. I'm not done with it yet, but it's just called Shark with an exclamation point.
I don't know if I've seen it. I think I might have.
It's from, well, it's listed as 2021 in Amazon, but, you know, they're frequently wrong with their date. I'm guessing it's fairly new, though, like at least 2019, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2018, but it's kind of like a, remember the Santa Shark movie?
Yeah.
How it's like a shark that's a drawing or whatever that comes to life.
Oh, really?
This movie's kind of like that, except it's these two brothers that, when they were young, they used to write movie scripts, and they were all about sharks, shark movies and stuff. And so they, when they grow up, I mean, it's a weird movie, dude, because there's some sort of, like, supernatural being that's kind of like a muse, I guess, that makes things real. And so he thinks that they actually want this to happen, so he makes their...
This is a bad movie.
Oh, yeah, it's not like a great movie. It's a weird movie, though. So, like, basically they're being chased around by this really poorly rendered CGI shark that, you know, they make a point of noticing that it's a poorly rendered CGI shark. That's part of the joke, and it just floats around in the air and chases them and stuff. And where I stopped it, it was a little over halfway through, it gets really weird because the shark swallows a cell phone or something, so it connects to the internet, and it's hard to explain, man. It's just weird.
I don't think I like that.
And it's got layers of, what do you call that?
Crap?
Meta stuff, you know. Or meta, even, if you want to say it that way.
Down.
But it's at least as enjoyable as, say, Six-Headed Shark Attack or Sharktopus. With possibly more heart.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not a great movie, but I think they were having fun making it. Kind of feels like it. So.
Yeah. I don't believe you.
Well, then you'll have to watch it. You'll have to try it first.
Don't tell me what to do. What did I miss while we were gone?
I don't, man, my October got really weird. Not weird, just packed.
Dude, I'm so behind on stuff. It's so upsetting. I'm so stressed out. I don't know what to do.
Just keep plugging away at it.
Man, that's what I'm doing.
Right. I have one of those, just, you know, stuff happens in groups or whatever. Or it just seems like things lump up for no apparent reason, but it happens a lot. And, or it happens frequently enough that it's like, why? Why isn't this spread out? But, where I knew I had an OGN I was supposed to be working on towards the end of the year. I just didn't know when it was coming. But then I also got another OGN, and both of them I have to have done in November.
Yeah.
That was just on top of, like, just other stuff I already had scheduled. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not doing anything for October. Except sitting here working.
Yeah, I got an email asking if the cover for this graphic novel I'm doing was done. I'm like, I haven't done a cover.
I'm working on a graphic novel?
So I have to do a cover now. And it's like, I just got home last night.
Right.
And I'm right back in it.
Well, I guess it's better than not having anything to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that before, but now that I am been having fun making music, I would rather be doing that right now.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing. I mean, I was thinking about it all week while I was gone, because I couldn't do either, you know? And
you were in Joshua Tree, where lots of musicians go.
And so I was just, it was weird and not frustrating, but kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain.
No, I mean, there's just tons there's of stuff,
so much stuff I have to do and so much stuff I want to do, and I'm wondering, is, you know, taking all this time away from my chosen, you know, thing going to make me a worse artist? That kind of stuff. Full of anxiety, I am.
Well, best not to overthink it.
Well, I'm trying not to.
Nice.
The heat is off. I mean, the air is off, I told you, and I am hot.
So what you're actually saying is the heat is on.
It's on
the street. Yeah. So. Let's see what else is new.
I saw a tarantula.
Yes, you saw a tarantula.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a guy that you basically saw grow up, get married.
Saw him get married. Saw his wife grow up.
You probably could have left that part out.
Yeah. They had fun.
Yeah, that's what matters, man.
Oh, get this.
Okay.
So every once in a while I'll go to, you know, a brewery here, Solemn Oath. And when I go there, there's this bartender that always talks to me. And he's like, oh, you do comics and stuff. And I guess he's a comic fan. He was at the wedding.
Oh.
That was really weird, because I was like, who is this? Wait a minute, how do I know this person is talking to me? And then I realized, oh yeah, I know you from Chicago. What the hell?
You're not supposed to be here.
It's a small world.
Guess he was a friend of Hank's?
Yeah, well, he's Hank's now wife's sister's boyfriend.
I feel a Mel Brooks skit coming on.
That sounds like a problem.
Yeah. They have medicine for it.
They do?
Yeah. DeBrooksian.
DeBrooksian?
Yeah. You know. So that they can, I don't know, man. I'm not going anywhere with that. But I've watched some stuff I've never seen before.
Okay.
Like, I never saw Do the Right Thing all the way through, so I finally watched it.
It's all right.
It's not bad, but it's weird in that it's mostly when I hear people talk about it, they talk about it like it's a comedy, and it's got funny moments, but it's really more of a tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the only part I was really familiar with was when the guy on the bike comes down and runs over the guy's shoe, and then he goes in that big spiel about, who told you to come down my street? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only part I really remembered about it, and before I watched it this time. But then I followed that up with watching the movie that was just before that about the college. College Days?
School Days.
School Days. And that was weird. Like, that's a weird movie, dude.
Yeah.
Especially the bit, like, they go into this whole thing between the lighter skin and darker skin people, and mm-hmm. it turns into a musical number.
Yeah.
But it's like this, like, I don't know, I would consider that a pretty serious topic, you know?
Right.
Because, I mean, they're, you know, slinging slurs back and forth at each other and shit. And it, but all to song and dance? weird. And I guess, I was thinking about this, and I guess it's a little like, it's a little like, okay, if you watch enough British TV, you pretty much just start recognizing actors. Because I guess they got a small enough pool to draw from that they reuse people a lot, you know, for different stuff. And so watching these two movies, I was like,
the same people in each one?
Well, there were a bunch of people, the same people in those movies, but then they were also just a bunch of actors I recognized from other stuff, yeah. You know, watching, like, Another World or Martin or, you know, different movies and stuff. Like, but then I sat there and thought about it, and, like, that's probably not surprising because, especially in the late 80s, I mean, there was, you know, a limited pool of black actors and actresses to choose from, right? Probably?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, like, it's not really surprising, I guess, that I'd recognize most of them if they kept acting. Like.
Truth.
And yeah, but College Days, man, and that's a really is a strange kind of movie. It's weirdly put together, and it ends. The ending's worthy of like some weird Italian horror movie.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like that movie.
I thought it was pretty well done altogether. It was just strange. I wasn't expecting it because I didn't know anything about it. It just it came up when I was watching Do the Right Thing. I'm like, okay, I'll watch that one too. But yeah, so that was kind of weird. There was another odd one that I'd never seen that had been around a while. I watched that Across the Universe movie.
Oh.
From 06 or 07, I think.
Yeah, not interested in that.
It is weird because the story itself's not that interesting. The actual story you're watching. I mean, the thing that you're watching this movie for is to hear Beatles songs.
Yeah. It's the only reason to watch it. And that's the only reason it was made.
But most of the performances of the Beatles songs aren't, they're not terrible, but they're not really that great either. They're really forgettable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of cool ones. And I liked some of the way, I mean, it was a really good looking movie. Visually. And I liked the way they juxtaposed some of the messages they were trying to get across with the songs.
Okay.
Just, you know, like, images of violence, you know, with overlaid by Beatles songs. It's kind of a cool thing. But, like, yeah, overall as a movie, I'm like, for one thing, it's too damn long. You know? I mean, it's around 2 hours, I think.
Yeah.
And that's too much, man. Oh, I found the one. I watched, have you ever seen a movie called Baghdad Cafe?
I know what that is. I haven't seen it, though.
I didn't remember the movie at all. It sounded weird, and the description sounded weird. It sounded like a, I don't know, a Jarmusch film or Gus Van Zandt or something. You know, that like that kind of weirdo 80s movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to watch it. It's got CCH Pounder in it.
CCH Pounder!
And it's got a, what's his name? Did a lot of Westerns, and then he went and did a lot of Italian movies. Jack Palance.
Okay.
And then it's got a German lady. Well, the plot is that this German lady, they're on vacation in America or whatever, and then her husband just kind of abandons her. And so she's walking down the road and comes across this broke-down old cafe called the Baghdad Cafe, run by Pounder.
Pounder?
And she, despite CCH Pounder being a really gruff lady, you know, the German lady decides to stick around and kind of help fix the place up. And it turns into a weird kind of, I liked it. It's this weird character thing in the vein of, like, Northern Exposure or, the one in Florida I liked with, you know, the guy from Short Circuit. Which I can't remember for some reason. But, which was basically just a clone of Northern Exposure down south. But, so Key West, that's what it was.
Oh.
And so it's weird like that. It's just got these strange characters. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't even remember ever hearing about the movie. But from what I read about it when I was looking it up, it spawned a TV show starring Whoopi Goldberg that lasted for like a season or so.
That's what that is.
And I don't remember that show being on either. I don't know.
I don't think I ever watched it, but I do remember that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where sometimes I wonder if shows just weren't shown in Cincinnati for some reason.
I mean, that certainly is possible. That's, you know.
Because that seems like something I remember. Because
seems like something you would remember, yeah.
It's weird, and, you know, I liked Twin Peaks when I was a kid, and I, you know, as far as I remember, I liked Whoopi Goldberg, so it seems like I remember that TV show.
As far as I can remember, I like Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, I don't ever remember disliking Whoopi Goldberg, you know?
I'm sorry, officer, I don't think I've ever disliked Whoopi.
Yeah, you know, I like Whoopi.
Then why are you talking to the police, then?
You're talking to the police.
Officer, it wasn't me. I did not do what I did to Whoopi Goldberg.
Hey. What are you talking about? I didn't do anything to Whoopi Goldberg.
Hey, what are you talking about?
You're just talking in the same voice, both sides. You're not even making an attempt to mimic me or anything.
Well, I don't. I leave the impressions up to Jim.
Yeah.
According to Jim.
According to Jim. So, but anyway, Baghdad Cafe was a good movie. I reckon, you know, if you're looking for something weird to watch, I recommend
Jim's
it.
Jim's making his own movie right now.
I got that impression, yeah, from his Instagram. He's been talking about movie stuff a lot more lately.
He's been making his movie.
He just showed something the other day that was like from some old pitch that he had done.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had done and wound up scrapping, but he'd still liked the beat art he did for it. I guess that's what you would call that, beat art?
I guess.
I don't know. Whatever you call it.
I don't know. I don't work in that kind of stuff.
I don't either.
As I make props for a TV show.
Oh, yeah. I guess you kind of do work in that stuff. And, oh, yeah. This is another one I want to tell you, because we were talking about this a while ago. The Snake Eater movies. I saw two of them.
Okay.
I watched Snake Eater and Snake Eater 3, His Law.
His Law?
His Law.
What is His Law?
It's kind of like saying huzzah.
Oh.
His Law. No?
Coleslaw.
Coleslaw. Well, let's see. In the first movie, he's a ne'er-do-well cop.
Ne'er-do-well cop?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's one of those cops that breaks the rules and his chief, you know, wants to fire him.
Why don't they? Oh, it's real hard to get rid of cops as we've learned the last couple of years.
And, but actually his chief does fire him in this movie, so he hooks up with this... No, wait a minute. That was in the other movie. I'm getting them mixed up now. In the first movie, he has to go rescue his kidnapped sister. That's what it was.
Who fucking took his sister?
A bunch of, like, Bayou rednecks.
Bayou rednecks? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's...
They captured her for her womanness.
What? They captured her for her womanness?
Well, you know, they wanted to, you know, do stuff to her.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Sometimes how it goes.
It's kind of like a recurrent plot point back then, you know.
Yeah, that was the plot point.
Pretty much. If your hero needed a motivation, you know, do something bad to a woman, essentially.
Yeah.
Sometimes even if the hero was a woman, you would still do something bad to a woman.
That's true, too.
Because I'm pretty sure there was probably more than one Cynthia Rothrock movie that had that as a plot device. Or a motivational device, I guess. Anyway, I don't know. That first Snake Eater, it was 89, and it's very much late 80s action movie kind of thing. In the vein of, you know, name one. It's pretty much like a conglomeration of a bunch of them. It's got, like, most of the tropes rolled into it. The second one wasn't... like, just on Amazon Prime, so I didn't watch that. But I did watch a third one, which was in 92.
Okay.
And in that one, he gets fired by his chief. And
Julie's texting me. Hold on.
Okay. I wonder if this one's any good. Bounty Tracker.
Bounty? I've seen Bounty Tracker.
For some reason, I think I have too.
It's a Whip Tracks.
Oh, maybe that's how I saw it. I was just looking up other Lorenzo Lamas performances. Oh, okay, yeah. I've seen the Riff Tracks Bounty Tracker. I recognize the cover image. Deep Evil. I've seen more Lorenzo Lamas movies than I knew I did. Or that I have.
I would like to see a Lorenzo Lamas movie.
Lorenzo Lamas. He's the Eat Snaker.
Eat Snaker? Oh my god, not the Eat Snaker.
He's the Eat Snaker.
I don't trust the Eat Snaker. Not one bit.
Well, you should.
What, really?
He's on your side.
I don't think he is. He's an Eat Snaker.
He's an Eat Snaker. Sneak Eater? I don't know. Are you done with your texting?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been done.
Oh, okay. So anyway. Yeah, and the third one, so he gets fired by his chief. He has to go hook up with a bounty hunter named Cowboy. To go,
Cowboy?
Yeah, Cowboy. That's what everybody calls him. So he has to, because he needs to work under this bounty hunter, because the bounty hunter is the one with the license. So he gets this case to go rescue or protect. At first it's to protect somebody's daughter who was, again, you know, brutalized. And to the point where she becomes sort of like a nymphomaniac, semi-catatonic.
What? That's not a thing.
Well, it is in this movie. But then because she's got this sort of Stockholm syndrome thing going on, she winds up going back to the bikers that had abused her, And so he has to go after them, and basically he just kills them all.
I would do that too.
And so that one was a little more over the top and extreme, but I guess they were trying to get edgy in the 90s, you know. And, yeah. So that was my snake eater experience. My snack eater.
Everybody's got a snake eater experience.
You know, sometimes you need it. I think. I guess.
Man.
I don't know. Tevs.
What else is going on?
Just busy. I'm lettering a Agritsuko issue right now.
A what?
Issue of Agritsuko.
Who's that?
It's it was a Netflix thing with Sanrio.
Oh.
And it's a Sanrio character. Her name is Retsuko, but she's Agro, so they combine it and call it Agritsuko. She's like an office worker who has a fondness for black metal.
Oh, you told me about this.
Yeah, and when she like wants to relieve tension or gets really stressed out, she gets a symbol on her forehead and makeup on her face and starts screaming black metal songs.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And like I don't know if that was a partnership with Netflix or if it was just on Netflix. But they did like a couple of seasons of animated episodes of it. And it's a fun book. We've been doing it for a little while now. And I'm lettering an issue of that right now. And then I got to dive into another thing, and then I got to dive into another thing. Oh crap, I need to get a hold of somebody because I've got a script for something that's due Monday, and I've just realized I haven't gotten it yet.
Better do that.
Yeah, I probably should fire that email off. So just busy. The busier I get, the less interesting things I have to talk about, I guess.
Yeah?
Seems like it. There's, okay, so in my bathroom, going back to spiders.
So
in my bathroom, you know, I've got a double sash window, and the bottom sash is like that frosted glass, so people can't see in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got, like, that plasticky stuff you put in windows that looks like stained glass or whatever.
Yeah.
Contact film or whatever I think it's called. I've got that up in the upper sash. So I've been noticing there's a spider that's been living in the window frame. And, it only comes out at night, it seems like. I don't recall ever seeing it during the day. So I'm never really getting a good look at it because it's down on the lower sash where the frosted glass is.
Down on the sash with the frosted glass?
Yes. Yes. The vessel with the pestle.
Okay.
It's pretty close to it, so I'm kind of getting an idea of what it looks like, but it's indistinct, if you understand my meaning there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird because I can't figure out what kind of spider it is because it looks like it's about the size of a the body, not the entire thing with the legs, but just the body itself looks like it's, you know, a bit smaller than a grape. So it's a fairly decent sized spider.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks sort of orange from what I can tell from the light bouncing from the window or whatever. So I went to go look up, you know, orange, decent-sized spiders of that kind of shape, because it looks like one of those kind that's got, like, a fat butt and a little head.
Aww.
Not like one of those.
Don't you fat shame that.
You know what I'm saying, as opposed to, like, a wolf spider, where it's all, like, real skinny and elongated. This one looks more roundish and larger in its anterior parts.
Wow, you used anterior correctly.
Why, thank you. Anyway, so I went to go look it up, and the closest thing I could match to what the spider looks like, or at least what I think it looks like, are a couple of members of the Orb Weaver family, which...
Those aren't in your area, are they?
Orb weavers? Sure, they're all over the place, man. They're just, they make the kind of webs that you think of when you think of webs, you know?
Oh.
And they're sort of like that. They're sort of kind of roundish and can get kind of large, you know? But the problem is the spider that's been living in my window makes that kind of web that looks a little more like a sail that goes into a funnel.
Yeah.
Which
those are in my basement.
I normally associate those with being those like kind of trap spiders or those spiders that jump out and grab shit. And
no, I think those are like house spiders. Like they're kind of like see-through.
Oh no! I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I didn't know that they made funnel webs.
No, I mean they have to. Otherwise, what's doing that down here?
Well, I've seen the spiders that I associate with funnel webs in your basement before.
What?
Those look more. And they might be wolf spiders, but they look like wolf spiders.
What? There's wolf spiders in my basement?
I saw one in your shower. It freaked me out one time, man.
What?
Downstairs, yeah. I was like, you know, I went in to get a shower, and I turn around, and it's like on there stalking me on the wall and shit.
I'm in the basement.
Yeah?
It means there's wolf spiders down here.
Yeah, but they're not coming after you, man.
Well, they might be.
No. If there's spiders in your basement, it just means you got other bugs they can eat.
Great.
That doesn't make you feel any better, does it? But anyway, so, yeah, so I don't think this is an orb weaver because it seems like the wrong kind of web. So it's I'm trying to decide or figure out what kind of spider it is. I can't get a good look at it because, like I said, it only comes out at night. I don't want to open up the window to look at it because I don't want to come in the house, you know?
It's outside.
Yeah, it's outside the window. That's why I'm saying I'm seeing it through that frosted glass, so I'm not getting a real clear look at it.
Well,
the frosted glass and the lower sash.
I would not be interested enough to care about that shit.
And I've gone out a couple of times now during the day and knocked its web down, thinking maybe, you know, it'll move on.
Revenge!
I mean, it's how you handle hobos.
Revenge!
You know.
It's sitting there going, revenge!
Man, that joke fell flat, though, didn't it?
Me?
No, mine.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that was a joke.
Where I said, it's how you handle hobos?
Yeah, but
knock their houses down? Anyway. Alright, it was a bad joke, anyway. Especially given all the everything that's going on right now. But yeah, so I've knocked its web down a couple of times and you know, like clockwork, it builds it back up again that night. So yet I still can't get a good look at it.
I'm sorry.
Well, do something about it.
Well, I will. I'm going to burn your house down.
That's not a solution. I take that back. It is a solution. I don't think it's a very good solution. Although, if you burn my house down, I can get the insurance.
Exactly.
There's a thought.
It is a thought that no one can ever tell us that that's not a thought that we had.
Exactly. I'm not sure where that leaves us, though. Yeah. That was my fun spider story. I guess it's fun. I don't know.
Yeah, my emissions test.
I just got my new sticker for my car. They still do emissions testing in Chicago?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think my sticker expires. If it says October, does that mean the end of the month or now?
Usually there's a date, I thought. Like, it's that whatever your birth date is, isn't it? Oh, no. Yours isn't in October, though. I forget how Chicago works. Sorry.
Well, you're going to suffer for that.
In Ohio, at least to the best of my knowledge, they tie it to your birthday. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. Had another kind of weird movie you might want to add to your watching list.
What's that?
It's called The Neon Dead.
Neon Dead?
And I want to say...
I've seen Neon Maniacs, but I don't know if I've seen The Neon Dead.
Yeah, Neon Maniacs is that one from the 80s, right?
Yeah. That's a real weird movie.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
This one's equally, I guess, lower budget kind of stuff, but it's newer.
Neon Maniacs has that, like, clearly 38-year-old woman playing a 14-year-old girl.
I haven't seen it in a while, but yeah. I want to say I've seen this movie, too, before, so I might have talked about it. Because it seemed vaguely familiar when I was watching it, but not enough that I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen next. So maybe I just saw something that was like it. But anyway, it says it's from 2017. It's called Neon Dead. And it's kind of a sort of a horror comedy, I guess, with a undead demon and a pair of, like, goofy paranormal exterminators. It was fun, I thought. So, you might want to add that in. I don't know. Maybe not. What do I care?
I like that. Yeah. That was fun.
I mean, you know, whatever.
Fuck you. I don't care.
I also watched this weird remake of A Night of the Living Dead called Rebirth.
Oh.
I don't recommend it.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I guess... Okay, so Night of the Living Dead, because of its... They screwed up and lost their copyright.
Right. Yeah, that's why it's in every horror movie.
Right, because, yeah, that is one movie you will see constantly on TVs and other horror movies, or being shown in drive-ins or whatever. You'll see lots of references to it, especially the Barbara... They're coming to get you, Barbara. But, you know, you'll see lots of references to it, and they've also remade it a few times.
Yeah.
So, this is one of those. It's listed as 2021, but I think it's a year or two older than that. And, it's got some differences, but pretty much it's the same movie, or at least, you know, shot... like, scene for scene kind of thing. Except they replaced Barbara with a guy everybody calls Kid, but he looks equally or older than most of the rest of the cast. Don't really understand that, because they keep calling him Kid and acting like he's like a young dude who's like freaking out or something.
I'm freaking out, man.
But, so yeah, they replaced Barbara with this character. They made the angry father that's, you know, that is first hiding in the basement.
Yeah.
They turn him into a racist, bigoted preacher, religious guy. And for some reason, not always, but quite often, some of the zombies have glowing eyes. So I don't know if they're trying to make it more like this is a supernatural thing rather than some weird comet flying by. Which I believe was what they considered the cause in the first movie. So there's some changes. I mean, for being, it's a shoestring budget type movie, I think. And for that being what it is, it's not terrible, but it's like, I don't really see the point in it very much. And, well, I mean, you know, hey, if you want to make something, that's cool. I couldn't rarely recommend anybody watching it, because what's the point? Like, just go watch the original.
What is the point?
Pardon me.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah.
Stop being sick. Do you have COVID?
I don't think so.
Do you want COVID?
Depends. How much can I get it for? Did I tell you I watched two of the Lake Placid movies?
Lake Placid?
Yeah, Lake Placid. Lake Placid.
I've only seen the one.
I've
heard they get real dumb.
I saw three and four.
Wait a minute. Doesn't one of them have the guy from Eureka in it?
That's three, yeah.
I've seen that. But that's the one, I think he directed it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Let me look that up. Well, it doesn't list him as directing it.
Maybe it was something else then.
But yeah, Lake Placid 3 is the one that's got Michael Ironside and Colin Ferguson and Yancey Butler.
Yancey Butler.
Yep.
Poor Yancey.
And then she comes back again for the fourth one. At least I think it's the fourth.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's the fourth one. It's called The Final Chapter, so I'm not really sure whether it's the fourth one or not. I think it is, though, because Lake Placid 3 is in 2010, so...
Is it The Final Chapter, though?
I guess. I haven't seen any other Lake Placid movies post The Final Chapter. But the... So this one's got Robert Englund in it. And then, like I said, Yancey Butler. And then Elizabeth Rome.
Who?
She was in... I'm trying to think what else you'd recognize her from. She was the... okay, remember the... I think... At least the first season, maybe the first two seasons, there was that lady cop and Angel that Angel was kind of having a love thing with.
Yeah.
She was, that's Elizabeth Rome.
She was on Law and Order.
Okay.
Yeah. I think she played a DA on Law and Order.
Yeah, apparently she was in, like, CIS, too.
You're a CIS.
She was in Heroes? I don't even remember her in Heroes. Oh, dude, we should go back and do a Heroes rewatch.
I will shoot you in the butt.
No? You don't want to do Heroes rewatch?
Do not. I want to do Heroes.
All right. So you talked me into it. We'll do Lost.
There are like, already Lost podcasts.
I didn't say we'd actually have to, podcast it. I just thought we should do a rewatch. I mean, of course we'll talk about it, but...
Anyway.
So in Lake Placid, the final chapter, the Crocogators, whatever they are...
Crocogators?
I think they're crocodiles, right? I don't know. For some reason, crocodiles came upstream and are living in a lake, even though they're not supposed to be living in a lake. I don't get it. Whatever. That's the whole Lake Placid thing. But, yeah, in the final chapter, they get bigger.
I don't like the way you said that.
Much bigger. And they fenced off the area where the crocogators are living. And then somehow a school bus full of teens partying mistakenly gets into that area and goes down to the beach and then gets slaughtered. So, yeah. Lake Placid, the final chapter.
Chapter.
It's well worth watching. No, it isn't.
Why did you say that? You knew that was a lie.
The weird thing is that one, I didn't much care for three. In the way of, it's watchable. And you can put it on while you're working, but you ain't going to really remember it when it's done. You know? Lake Placid, the final chapter, I thought was better than that for some reason. It had some funny moments. And the cast seemed to, interact well together. And it gets a weird 4.5-star rating on Amazon. But it only gets a 3.6 on IMDb, which is actually what I would expect from IMDb. But yeah, so I don't know. It's pretty watchable, though, I think.
What Amity? Did you say Amity?
Oh, no, I was going to say something like eminently watchable, but then I wanted to retract that. It's not really eminently watchable, but it's pretty darn watchable. So, yeah.
I have to draw a law book.
A what?
A law book.
Is that like a Starbuck?
Starbuck. I have to draw a Starbuck.
Is a law book what the lawgiver uses?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, wait. That's right. They did have a lawgiver on there, didn't they?
No, they did, didn't they? Yeah, that's true.
It was Bobo, wasn't it?
Bobo He called Pearl the Lawgiver, though.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. I remember Lawgiver being associated with Bobo.
Well, yeah, because that's a Planet of the Apes term.
Yeah. So is that what the law book is for?
It is for another movie.
Oh, I see. I watched what was it? Beast of the Yellow Knight yesterday.
Oh, I hate that one.
The Riff Trax version of it.
Oh, the tough one.
I don't know. I mean, I laughed.
I laughed.
So, I mean, and it's not the worst Riff Trax I've seen. I still think probably the worst Riff Trax I watched was the Bruce Lee one. I think it was Fist of Fury.
Oh, really?
Because I liked that movie. And the stuff, the jokes they were making about it, I didn't think were funny.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know?
They're not always on point.
I guess it would have been, like, if I would have thought the jokes were funny, it would have mattered if I liked the movie.
Yeah.
Because I have watched other Riff Trax things where I liked the movie. But I still laughed. But yeah, for whatever reason, I didn't think the Fist of Fury one was funny at all.
I'm sorry.
Seemed kind of mean sometimes, actually. Just kind of a weird thing to say about them. Or to point out as a thing about them. I mean, the whole point of it's kind of being mean, right? Like,
I don't know if that's the point.
Well, maybe not.
I don't try to be mean when I make fun of something.
But you kind of are, though, aren't you? I mean,
you little bitch.
Well, I mean, that just goes back to the, like, most, you know, Western humor is rooted in, you know, somebody else's tragedy kind of thing. Or, you know, demeaning somebody else or whatever.
Is that true?
Okay, point out something that's funny that doesn't involve somebody else's, you know, embarrassing themselves or pratfall or whatever. Like, I mean, name something funny that's, you know, a kid laughing, that's kind of funny. But then again, when, you know, I tend to laugh when other people laugh anyway, because just laughing is funny.
But, I love to laugh!
But yeah, I mean, you know, most of our humor is just, it's based on awkward situations or people being uncomfortable or somebody being stupid or whatever, you know? Prove me wrong!
You just hate fun.
Please, please prove me wrong. Did you know they made a sequel to The Mangler?
The Mangler?
Yeah.
The Robert Englund movie?
Yeah, based on a Stephen King short story, which didn't resemble the actual short story much at all. So
it's just about a machine that mangles you, right?
Right. But well, sort
don't
of a
go into that building, right?
It's like a demon-possessed machine that mangles you.
Hey, you just don't go in that building. I fixed it. That's how you stop the mangler.
Well, you would think so, but it uproots itself after a while.
Oh.
Because it's a demon. Well, at least it does in the short story. I don't remember how the movie goes. But in The Mangler Reborn...
The Wrangler... He was reborn?
Yes. The Mangler. Reborn... This handyman guy inexplicably gathers the parts of the machine that had been stripped down from the original movie, puts it back together in his house. Why he needs a laundry machine mangler in his house, who knows? And why he would put this thing back together, who knows? And then once he gets it assembled, the demon in the machine possesses him.
Well, that's going to happen.
And then he starts by killing his wife and then just starts killing all kinds of people and traps them in the house and there's blood all over the walls. And
you know, he should have known better.
Yeah, well, I didn't even think. Yeah. But it, again, not the worst movie I've ever seen. It's definitely got a, it's got a weird factor that kind of makes it interesting. It's got one of those, well, I don't want to spoil it for you. I was going to talk about part of how the story works, where it's, you know, there are endings that don't need to be, you know, like where they tack something on at the end as a gotcha or, you know, a way of maybe opening the way for a sequel. But you don't need those kinds of things, for one thing. You can just make a sequel. You don't need to have a sequel hint at the end.
I mostly agree.
I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want. Like, they didn't have... Well, I'm trying to think. There's lots of good movies that don't. But that sometimes... And sometimes they're okay, like the sequel ending type of thing. Sometimes they work out alright. A lot of times they really just don't, though. They feel like they're tacked on, and you just kind of feel like, you know, the past hour and a half you spent watching the movie was a waste.
If it's a horror movie, I think a lot of people think that they have to have them.
Yeah, but you don't. You know, and you don't need the needless gotcha, either.
Okay, you.
Some movies, it's like, if they would have ended where you think they ended, instead of, you know, going on to the gotcha, like, it would have been good, but the gotcha, like, spoils the whole thing.
You're a gotcha, buddy.
Yeah. It just, it seems cheap and amateurish. But anyway, so, I'm not saying the Mangler's got that, or anything. But it does.
I'm not saying this movie sucks, but it sucks. Also, it's
no,
so bad.
Like I said, it does, it's got a weird thing going for it that makes it sort of interesting. So I'll give it that.
I'll give it that, but I think it sucks.
I saw kind of a weird 80s movie I'd never seen before. 80s horror movie.
What was it?
It's called Edge of the Axe.
Edge of the Axe, that's in my queue. I can't believe I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, that really looks like something I would have grabbed off the you know, store shelf at a, you know, video store.
Well, I saw the cover and I was like, I thought that was a new movie pretending to be old.
But it's not. It is very much an 80s movie. Well, it's an 88 movie, but, you know. I'm not familiar with
a bunch of those lately, actually. I've found a bunch of movies, like, that I mean, I should have seen these movies already, but...
Like what?
I forget. I'd have to look at my Tubi. I haven't been keeping track as well. I've been watching them, I just haven't been logging them like I should.
I understand.
But yeah, there are a couple like just slasher movies I didn't know existed.
Yeah, I always find that weird when I find movies from that era that I haven't seen, because in that genre, you know, because I could have swore between friends renting stuff, me renting stuff, stuff being on cable or like, you know, cheesy also runs late night or something, you know, that I would have felt pretty sure I've seen all this stuff, but sometimes I still haven't.
Just the last years, the last couple of years for me, I would have thought that I'd... Because, you know, at some point you're like, am I running out of stuff?
I feel like that sometimes. That's why I start watching, like, weird stuff I haven't seen before that might not necessarily be in the genre that I'm looking for or whatever, you know? Like, they, it's just, and I mean, I can understand a lot of this stuff, especially like the 80s slasher type movies, probably had a super limited theater release, if they had a theater release. And then, you know, they went to VHS, and then once VHS died out as a format, they never really made the move into DVD or anything until somebody like Shout Factory or somebody picks them up and re-releases them, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that, like, that I'd be seeing some of this stuff, you know, digital for the first time or whatever. I can't believe I missed so much stuff, or missed as much as I did while it was still on VHS. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point, you know, I had a ton of VHS tapes that, just even from promo stuff that I got from when I worked for the distributor place. But even, you know, and even before that though, I was always taping stuff off TV or renting stuff or whatever.
Come here, Floyd. Why are you jumping? Oh, you just, what?
Oh, he's noisy.
Since we got back, he has not shut up.
Who?
He's like super, super talky now. He's very mad at us, too.
Did you board him or did somebody watch him?
No, people watched him or came by and checked up on him. Hey, buddy.
But only once, because then he scared them off.
Oh, boy. He wants to hug.
Does he now?
Mm-hmm.
He wants the hugs. Oh, saw newer H.P. Lovecraft adaptation that wasn't bad.
What's that?
It was called The Deep Ones.
Deep Ones?
H.P. Lovecraft's The Deep Ones is what it's called.
H.P. Lovecraft's The Deep Ones.
And
is that actually a thing?
I think it's based off of like Shadow over Innsmouth or something. Probably. That's what it seemed closest to. And that seems to be one of the ones people adapt the most. Mm. But it wasn't too bad. Weird thing is, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of what you'd call, like, high budget productions of H.P. Lovecraft stuff, I guess.
No.
I mean, relatively speaking, that one from the 70s, The Dunwich Horror, was probably decently funded.
It's very difficult to find a good one.
Some of the times you see the ones that are influenced by or based on, I guess. Like the... what was that one with the white beast in the house or whatever?
Unnameable?
Yeah, I think that's based on an H.P. Lovecraft thing.
It is, but that's like a full moon movie. That's not like
I know compared to say like a major studio full moon would be considered low budget, but I mean full moon had a budget, you know.
That's true.
I mean, look at all the work they had to put into like subspecies movies for the claymation and crap like that. Like they had money to pay people.
Claymation? I don't remember no claymation in subspecies.
Stop animated, whatever they were. Like, the subspecies critters were all stop animated.
The vampires?
No, the subspecies, the little monster things.
Are you thinking of a different movie?
I think it was Subspecies.
Subspecies is a vampire series.
One of the Full Moon series, it had like those little... They were about, like, 2 feet high and little naked...
Puppet masters?
No. They were, like, little naked monster things that would run around. They were, like, minions of something or something, I think.
Well, they got a lot of little tiny creature movies. Anyway, I know what you're talking about.
But my point is, though, is that, you know, if they had the money to pay people to do that, then they had a budget. Like...
Yeah. It's funny what we think of a budget now. They thought of as not a budget.
Well, and it is low budget compared to like a major cinema production or whatever. Like a major studio production. Okay, yeah, I guess Subspecies is the vampire ones. And what's the ones I'm thinking of?
I don't know, man.
Could have swore there were like little...
Deadly Boys?
No, because these weren't like they weren't toys or puppets. They all kind of looked the same. They were just little naked things.
Munchies?
They were all naked.
Were they munchies?
Weren't the munchies fur? Oh, wait. No, here they are.
Munchies were furry.
Yeah, these aren't furry. These are like little devil demon things with horns. But they're tiny.
Is that the gate?
No, I think they're in the Subspecies series. Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of them now.
Buddy? Why are you crying?
He, a vocal little guy.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, he was really going at it last night. He's kind of calmed down today.
Here, I'm sending you a link to the picture of the things I'm talking about. They were in the subspecies series. I think they must have been minions of the vampire or something.
Hmm. Look. Oh, where is this?
They're also on the cover of Subspecies, The Night Has Fangs. They're the things that are carrying the girl.
Those look like something out of a... out of a... uh-oh.
Yeah, and they're on the cover of the first Subspecies movie.
They look like something out of a... what do you call like an old Bill Willingham comic.
Yeah. Oh, they made a Radu action figure.
Radu, they did?
Yeah.
It's Radu.
I wonder who it was. I guess it was a Full Moon. Did Full Moon make toys? Yeah, they did. Full Moon has a toys division. Mm. Full Moon toys. In fact, and these little minion things come with the, one of them comes with the Radu figure.
Oh.
So, there you are. Look at that. Subspecies.
Need to give us some Radu.
Oh, there was a point I was trying to make before I got sidetracked by the little guys. So anyway, yeah, for the most part, I don't really... That newer one with Nick Cage, that was a Lovecraft-based thing, right?
Yes, Color Out of Space.
And that was pretty decent budget stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there are not many of them.
Right. It, for whatever reason, even though they're... they tend to be scary stories and stuff, you know? You just don't really see anybody put money into them.
Yeah.
Like, or at least not... I haven't seen much... well, I'm trying to think. I think the Dunwich Horror was a major studio, wasn't it? Wasn't it like MGM or something? The one from the 70s with Dean Stockwell in it. Am I remembering that right?
That the one where he's like a monster hunter?
To be honest, it's been a long time since I've seen it, so I don't remember.
I think that's the 70s.
Yeah, there was like an early 70s one with, is it Dean Stockwell? The guy that was, played the hologram
he's in one of those, but it's got like Jeffrey Combs in it.
No.
There's a Dean Stockwell, Jeffrey Combs, H.P. Lovecraft movie.
The one I'm thinking of is from 1970, and it's got I forgot it had Ed Begley and Sandra Dee in it.
Sandra Dee?
Wow.
Buddy!
See, he's even impressed.
Hold on just a second.
Yeah, man.
Why are you grumping? What are you grumping? Yeah! I got you! Yeah, you're fat. Don't be mad.
Okay.
Ow! Don't chomp on me. I'm a human.
Got weird fast.
Yeah, get it, Floyd.
Yeah, get it, Floyd.
Got his fish form.
So what's the one you're talking about with Jeffrey Combs?
I forget what it's called. It might be called...
was it an 80s thing?
No, I think it's probably 90s or Dean Stockwell.
Was that the one where he played that sorcerer, Jeffrey Combs?
He's sort of it's Dunwich Horror. It's a TV movie from 2008.
Oh. I'm trying to remember if I actually saw that or not. I wonder if that's a remake of the 1970 movie, then.
It's also known as...
Witches.
Witches, the Darkest Evil.
Hmm.
But, like, Dean Stockwell's like a evil hunter.
Yeah, in the, what is he? Yeah, he's Wilbur Whatley in the original movie.
Evil hunter. Who's Wilbur Whatley?
The Whatleys were a family in the, the Dumbest Horror Story. Like the original. But I think in the case of this movie, he doesn't know his family's got like a weird past, and he shows back up in the town and it discovers it. Something like that. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, I guess. Okay, so the description says, Wilbur Whatley travels to the Arkham Miskatonic University to borrow the legendary Necronomicon. But little does anyone know, Whatley isn't quite human. So, there's that.
I think... Okay. Yeah, there's some liberties taken in the other one. Now, what are you complaining about, man?
Oh, boy.
Why are you grumping? Stop it. You're being a brat. Oh, I got you, big chub. Oh, no, that's my hand. Ah! Eat this fish, not me. Oh, stop it. I know he's playing because he's doing the bunny kick, but he's not using his claws. Ah, jerk. But he's biting me.
Well.
Ass munch. You're an ass munch, boy.
I think your cat wants to bite you more than spiders do.
Oh, I know that's true.
But, of course, your cat really is just waiting for you to die so it can eat your face.
My cat wants to kill me.
Oh, what? Castle Freak. That was another one.
You're a castle freak.
That was a weird one, too.
Everybody, Castle Freak is dope as hell.
Another it's strange gross. One.
It's gross.
But,
that's gross like you. Shut up! Where do you go? Oh, there you are. Why are you way back there?
Jeez, Peebs, you're ruining the show.
He's good at catching toys. Like, you throw it, he'll jump up and get it.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good at that.
So, today's the first day that the DeJoy's mail plan kicks in.
Is it?
Yeah, where we can expect delays in first-class mail.
Okay.
And I think by the end of October, prices are going up. Like, fairly heftily.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Really don't understand why they...
Don't
just boot him. They should just boot him. But anyway. Do we have an email? Any email?
I'm too busy cuddling.
The Reanimator movies were decently budgeted.
They're alright, yeah.
They take a lot of liberties with the story, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
From Beyond was probably a decent budget movie. Those are like the ones I always think of, though, when I go to Lovecraft movies, just because I saw them at the right age.
Floyd, stop it! He's pulling out guitar strings out of my little box. Stop it! Leave it alone! Where are you being a butthole today? Oh, why can't you be like Ninja?
Oh, boy.
All right, we've got an email.
Yay.
I'm Mike Schwartz.
Hi, Mike Schwartz.
Stop! Oh, God, I'll kill you! Oh, stop it! Oh, I hate you! Mike Schwartz says, hey guys, I enjoy your guitar gear talk.
Oh.
I look around my office and see my Parker Nightfly and the only hemp I've ever owned, a Crate GX30M, and realize I've never been much of a gearhead. Good for you.
I'm making up for lack of it when I was a kid, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. I took lessons for 5 years as a kid, and took it pretty seriously, but trailed off near high school graduation. What are you doing? Why are you scratching those? There you go. He's got a bug up his ass. I never had friends who stuck with it to form a band. Plus, I listened to a lot of Steve Vai and Joe Satriani, so I thought I had to reach a certain level in order to write and perform my own songs, down my nose. If only the White Stripes hit a few years earlier, maybe I would have found a more accessible inspiration.
Yeah, there's a thing about the 90s, which actually White Stripes were, I mean, because Jack White's a decent guitar player, you know?
Hmm?
But there was that thing in the 90s where it was almost like being a decent musician was looked down on.
Yes.
I'm not even saying, like, almost. It actually was, because I remember having personal experiences with people in Cincinnati that were like, oh, he can play. You know?
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, that I guess they were rebelling against the good players, like the flashy players of the 80s.
It is no longer like that.
No, it's back to people, I mean, you know, in the 2000s and stuff, we saw the rise of, like, djent and stuff like that, you know, like the math rock people.
Everybody's trying to one-up everybody. But, in part to your guitar talk, I've been playing a lot more in the past year. I've made it a goal to relearn Steve Vai's Tender Surrender. Wait a minute. If you could play any Steve Vai song, you're already better than me.
I used to kind of know how to play a Steve Vai song.
I can't do any of that crap.
It was one of his earlier Steve Vai songs.
3/4 of the way through, something weird happened in my left hand, so I gave it a rest. Now I've switched over to hard but fun Metallica songs like All Nightmare Long. I don't even know that song.
Yeah, that's part of their later stuff that I'm not familiar with either.
My daughter has been playing piano for 3 years, and my son just started learning saxophone.
Saxophone?
He didn't write saxophone. I just said it that way.
Saxophone?
I'm trying to instill in them the joy of just doing it, finding fun in the moment. I'm still trying to learn that myself with my music and art. This is very good. I think that's very good, Mike.
Yeah. And I think with a saxophone, a piano, and a guitar, you've got enough there to make music.
I think you've got the right mindset.
Now, the question I have for you is your Parker Fly painted with Kirby Crackle? Is it Kirby Burst? So.
Those Parker Flies are ugly.
I like them. They're weird.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, speaking of something I would have used to think was ugly, but now I actually like. Chicago Music Exchange has a special edition Squire Bass VI, Bass 6, coming out that's in like a shell pink.
I wish they wouldn't do shell pink. I love that they do the color things with Anderton's, because I can dig on purple, but...
Yeah, I
would... just don't like shell pink.
I think that... Well, I think that looks cool in this bass, but... I would have preferred like a creamsicle.
What's that?
I think I would have preferred like a creamsicle color scheme. Like a, you know, a vanilla and light, really light orange.
I don't like shell pink, and I don't like, white. I don't like white.
I like Olympic white on some stuff. The Dano 12 string I got for Christmas last year has a pretty neat color scheme. I thought it's like kind of a dark vanilla with a oxblood pickguard and accents.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool color scheme, too. But anyway. Yeah, I do like it. It's weird that Chicago Music Exchange and Anderton's do things together.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool, but yeah, I like it. Well, I mean, it's probably hard for us to get Anderton stuff. Like, we have to pay for shipping and stuff.
Right, yeah. Because actually, this base, I first heard about it on an Anderton's thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I watch the Anderton's channel a lot. And, yeah, like, I kind of wanted that Mischief Maker or whatever it is.
Was that the one you're talking about in purple?
Yeah, well, everything they do is purple.
Oh.
That's like their theme, because it looks like Cadbury.
Huh.
It's like a British candy, Cadbury.
Yeah, well, they make Cadbury eggs.
Yeah. Their colors are blue and gold. I mean, purple and gold.
Like that sports team.
Anyway. They have, like, I think the Mischief Maker's, like, the it's a strat with a telly neck.
I'm trying to look it up.
I think that's what it's called.
Was it the Fender Ventura Roadworn Mischief Maker strat in purple metallic?
Yes.
I don't like Roadworn.
I've never had one, so I don't know. I don't care.
I mean,
I don't really care about finishes, except I did, like, play a Les Paul in a Guitar Center that had, like, this, like, really, like, rough finish to it, and I did not like that.
Oh, I remember those. Those were from about 5 or 6 years ago, I think, weren't they? Where they were doing, like, you could feel all the grain in the wood and stuff?
Yeah, and it almost felt like...
Actually, that was like 10 years ago, I think.
It didn't feel like grain to me. It felt like, you know, when you're painting something and just like dirt gets in there.
Or like when you add texture to something with paint. Like.
Yeah, I did not like it.
The thing is, for me, I don't mind buying a piece of used gear that's got some nicks and dings and whatnot in it. I don't want to buy a new thing that's got rusted screws and staining on the fretboard and... paint worn off on the, you know, upper part of the body and stuff like that, and like road rash on the back already built in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't need to fake that. Just give me the new thing. You know, like, don't take the extra time to make it look like it's been played for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Don't like it at all.
I don't like it at all either.
What do they, does Anderton's have a thing... I was looking on Anderton's website, and I'm trying to figure out if they've got, like, an actual section that's for exclusives or whatever. Like,
well, I don't know. I would assume they do.
You would think, but I cannot seem to find it. Just, you know, here.
Floyd, I swear to God, I'm going to come over there.
Ugh. Yeah. Stomp.
I'm gonna stomp you.
Stomp. Anyway, I'm sorry. Was that the end of the email?
No, he says, thank you for just doing the Crankcast. I always have fun listening to it. Also, I started a podcast with my kids, but I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Well, why didn't you talk about it now?
Maybe he felt he'd said enough.
Yes,
no. Well, thanks for writing.
Thank you. And it's been a while since we've heard from
you. I'm glad you're playing again. I'm glad whenever anybody gets to, you know, do more stuff like that.
I need to. I haven't been playing.
I think I've been in a slump, dude.
I'm not in a slump. I just need to get doing it.
No, I said I think I'm in a slump.
Oh.
Because I haven't been playing much myself. I mean, I sort of have. I've been noodling, like, when I'm sitting on the couch at night winding down. But I guess technically I wrote a thing the other night, but I still feel like I'm in a slump.
Then you're doing better than me. That's not a slump.
I just, I don't feel like I'm actually... I'm not getting anything on tape or anything, you know?
Yeah, I need to...
And I use that loosely, because who puts things on tape anymore? Lots of people. Tape made a comeback, actually. Go figure. It's time for me to bust out my old reel-to-reel machine and Multi-track me some stuff.
Not time for you to do that.
Oh, sure it is, if it still works. Got it, because you can hit that tape hard, man. You hit that tape hard and you get the saturation.
I'm going to get you a saturation.
I'm going to hit that tape hard. Hit it. Hard.
What do you think of the stuff that I made?
Sounded good so far.
What does that mean?
What? You are the worst at just taking like a positive statement as being a
well, I'm
statement.
Just saying, I meant more the technology aspect of it. That's crazy, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that shit just... I mean...
Was your mind blown?
Well, not blown. I've been working digital for a while, dude, but I'm just saying.
Well, you said it was blown. Tell me it was blown.
Fine, my mind was blown, Mike.
Mine was blown.
It was the best.
It was the best.
It rules.
Thank you for noticing.
Mind blown. Too far?
You insulted me and my family.
But yeah, I mean, consider when we were kids, we had tape decks, you know. That was the height of our technology. And then, you know, they started coming out with the digital recorders in the 90s, but they were kind of limited. I had one for a minute and took it back because it couldn't do what my 4-track cassette machine could do. So I was like, I can get more done with the 4-track. And I mean, they started getting better. I couldn't afford like an ADAT machine back then, so.
Oh, the DAT machine? Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, with the ADAT, you had like a, I think you could do 8 tracks on an ADAT?
I don't remember. That's what we recorded our little EP on.
Yeah, I mean, and ADATs were still in use well into the, like, towards the late 90s, so. But, at, you know, especially towards the early or beginning of the 90s when the ADATs came out, they were pretty darn expensive. A few $1,000s, I think, to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably find one now for $50. Technology. But yeah, and, you know, we didn't have any such thing. Like, the closest thing you had to, like, auto accompaniment was, like, that guy that would play his accordion at the flea market and have like a little auto accompaniment box with him, you know?
You mean a radio?
No, they were like things that like, you know, they had them built into like old organs and stuff too, where you'd hit a chord and it would like do an auto accompaniment thing with it. Like a bass line that would go doot, 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 or whatever, you know, based on whatever style button you pressed. Samba, bossa nova, whatever. Chevy Nova? Bossa Nova.
Bossa Nova.
But yeah, I mean, now, like the stuff you've been using with the GarageBand, and you know, you got the stuff that auto-generates.
The thing that kills me about it is I'm so excited to work on this stuff, but I can't now. And when I'm working on this stuff, I'm almost like, is it deep down I'm afraid to make that music because I'm afraid that I'm not good at it, so that having this work is kind of an excuse that I'm happy to have?
I think
what I'm doing. I'm sitting around thinking about crap like that when I should just be doing stuff.
Well, I would think, Mike, that, you know, having the work is something you'd be happy to have because it pays.
I am happy to have it, but at the same time, here's the thing about work for me. Like, when I was drawing before working on projects, I felt the same way about that as I do about making this music.
Oh, so you've kind of lost your spark on the art? Is that what it is?
I hesitate to say that because it sounds like I don't want to draw. But on the other hand, yeah, it is sort of like that.
It's become your job.
I mean, I still like doing it. I still love making things. It's just, yes, when you rather be doing something else, yes, it's more work.
More work than passion.
Yes.
That's a problem a lot of marriages fall into.
You motherfucker.
What? I'm just, I've seen it happen. It's just, it's one of those things, you know. But in my experience, there are things that I really like doing, even well into me doing them as a job, but after a while it just got to be more of a job than something I really wanted to be doing anymore, because I had to do it, I guess, you know, partly.
And like I said, I feel really hesitant to say this, because it's like, I love the drawing part of these things. It's the having to have them done by a certain date part now.
Not being able to spend the first couple of hours of your day on a warm-up?
Well, I never did that.
So. I was making a joke about, you know, when other people post their warm-ups and their finished pieces.
I think this last year just fucked me up that way, and I knew that it would. That's why I tried to stay as busy as I could.
Right. I always wondered, this is going to sound really dumb, probably, but, you know, I don't take vacations very often. Or I don't. I never take a proper vacation. And part of that, in my head, I'm worried that if I take too much time off work, I'm going to lose it. Like, lose my ability to be able to competently do it, I guess. Even when I go away for like a couple of days for a convention, I'm like, the entire weekend or whatever, in the back of my head, I'm always thinking, oh shit, I got this to do, or I got this to do, you know. Or I should be doing this right now instead. Like,
yeah, it's weird. I mean, I was kind of happy that I wasn't feeling like that. And then I came home and I'm just like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What do you want, Floyd?
Loving.
I'm about to get a punch.
And to eat your face.
Now, it's going to have to wait for that.
Not too much longer.
What?
What?
What? How do you know?
I don't know nothing.
I'm mad about that now.
It's sort of like I'm trying to distract you from your other problems by giving you something else to focus on.
Ah, that's good, yeah.
So.
I get to draw Eddie Van Halen's guitar.
Again? Which one? He's had like dozens.
I'm going to give you...
Are you going to do the Wolfgang model, or are you going to do the classic?
The one that everybody knows.
He's probably played the Wolfgangs for longer than he played the other ones.
That's true. In fact, that's
well, I mean, did play, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Oh, speaking of that, and this is something I was going to bring up earlier and I forgot... And I know we're running kind of long, but I'll try to make this quick because I want to mention it before I forget about it. So, something near and dear to our heart, Weezer. They released two albums this year within like 5 months of each other.
Yeah, I didn't hear one of them.
I've heard one song from each album, and surprisingly to me, because we've talked about this. I'm always waiting for a new Weezer album to come out that I like, you know?
Yeah.
And not that they suck or anything. It's just, to me, most of their music just started sounding like the same thing over and over or whatever. It wasn't all that exciting anymore. So, but I've heard a song each from each of these albums, and I like them both.
There's like one on every album that I like.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the rest of the albums, so I don't know if I'd actually like the rest of them or not.
I'm not super crazy about the Van Weezer one, mostly because I feel like it was, like, a lie.
What do you mean?
I thought it was going to be them doing big, dumb 80s music, and it's not, really. It's just them doing them.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I read in an interview that they were saying it's kind of like going back to the Blue Album, but not... Which, the song I'm trying to remember which song I heard off of Van Weezer. I think, Hero, I think?
I don't remember any of it.
And then from the...
It's all pretty interchangeable to me at this point.
from the OK Human, I don't remember what the name of the song is, but it's all my favorite songs are slow and sad. That's what it talks about. And I actually like that one. I think it's got a good chorus and stuff. But it makes me kind of want to check out the new albums and see if I actually like the albums themselves. And I mentioned, last time we talked about Weezer a while back, I kind of said maybe I just haven't been giving them a fair shake all these years either. Like, maybe I should go back and check out the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last year when I was talking about they kept playing their version of, Africa on the radio.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
So they, like, did a whole album of covers and stuff, but I'm like, you know, maybe I should check them out. I don't know. But yeah. Also, last thing. Did you ever fully watch the Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann one from mid-90s?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater.
Oh, really? How'd you sit through that?
I don't know, man.
I remember I had got a promo copy of it when it came out on VHS and whatever that was, 96 or 97, I think. And I remember starting to watch it, and I never made it through the movie. I couldn't. It was weird, you know? But I decided to go ahead and watch it now just to see if, you know, and I made it through the whole movie, but I'm like, I don't know if this really works. It's a pretty movie, like visually. I think Baz Luhrmann knows how to get a visual across. Obviously, mm-hmm. I mean, Moulin Rouge and there was a newer movie that I watched not that long ago that I thought was really good. Great Gatsby. So, like, he knows how to impress you with what you're seeing.
Impress me.
But I'm not entirely sure that Shakespeare's direct dialogue works in a modern setting like that. And it kind of seemed like everybody was stage acting instead of film acting. Or it was just real over the top all the time.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't know. I did read a curious thing about that movie, though. Apparently Claire Danes was like actually crushing heavily on DiCaprio.
Okay.
During the filming of that movie. But he didn't like her. Well, not that he didn't like her, but like he wasn't attracted to her. And I guess she was being a little forward, and so he kept trying to brush her off, but she wouldn't take the hint. So he'd, like, you know, kind of get mean about it sometimes and just leave and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I bring that up is because she actually seems really convincing as being somebody who's really in love with somebody in that movie, you know. And I'm like, well, I guess that makes sense then, because she was really crushing on him. So... anyway, so that's all I got.
Like you and Leo.
Like me and Leo. Well, or me and Claire Danes, or me and Sean Connery?
Yep, you and Sean Connery.
Pretty much. Or, me and, what's her name from Can't Hardly Wait?
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
No, Lauren Ambrose.
I was not expecting that. That's funny.
Yeah. I had a crush on Lauren Ambrose. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
That's cute.
I don't actually think there is a reason to be ashamed to admit that.
No, there's not. I don't know.
But yeah, so. All right, man. I guess I'm done. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. Let's, you know, hope Mike's not sick.
With the
COVID. The COVID. The corona. Anyway. And... have a good weekend, and go read Battlepug at battlepug.com, and watch the new Mystery Science Theater 3000.
When it comes out.
Or you
I don't know. I don't know if that'll even be this year. It'll probably be around Christmas time.
Are they using anything you're working on the tour?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, if you go see them on the tour, then you can see some of Mike's work.
Oh, yeah. I need to get tickets to that tour.
Yeah, they're coming C2E2 weekend to Chicago.
I need to get tickets.
And they're going to be here November or something, I think, November 8th. But
they put those tickets on sale?
I think they were on sale for the Cincinnati show. I don't know if the Chicago shows. It's probably on sale by now, I would think. I still have not heard back from C2E2 about my pro badge, whether I was accepted or not. So, I don't know. But, anywho. Be good.
We'll see.
Goodbye.
Be good, punks.